Radio.
Meditations by Father John Vlada.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. My Lord and my God, I firmly believe that you are here, that you see me, that you hear me. I adore you with profound reverence. I ask pardon for my sins and the grace to make this time of prayer fruitful. My Immaculate Mother, Saint Joseph, my Father and Lord, my guardian angel, intercede for me. Lord, we come to this glorious feast of your birth at Christmas, and we contemplate that beautiful scene in Bethlehem where you set up your cathedra, your teaching chair, and give us so many lessons. To contemplate that scene is to learn so much about you, about our faith, about how to live, to please you, to love you, to be with you one day in heaven. But let us begin by reading the Gospel passage from the Midnight Mass on Christmas. Now at this time, Caesar Augustus issued a decree for a census of the whole world to be taken. This census, the first, took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone went to his own town to be registered. So Joseph set out from the town of Nazareth in Galilee and traveled up to Judea, to the town of David called Bethlehem, since he was of David's house and line, in order to be registered together with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. While they were there, the time came for her to have her child, and she gave birth to a son, her firstborn. She wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them at the inn. In the countryside close by, there were shepherds who lived in the fields and took it in turns to watch their flocks during the night. The angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. They were terrified, but the angel said, "Do not be afraid. Listen, I bring you news of great joy, a joy to be shared by the whole people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. And here is a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger." And suddenly, with the angel, there was a great throng of the heavenly host praising God and singing, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and peace to men who enjoy his favor." We are so familiar with that gospel passage. It is one that is dear to all of us. And Lord, as we say, you teach us so much by the circumstances of your birth and what the angels say about you. That first great lesson, and we can consider seven, is love. Why did you come to earth? Why did you, the second person of the Blessed Trinity, the eternal Word, the Logos, want to become man when you had all of that glory, all of that joy in heaven? And now you come to earth to suffer. And even those swaddling clothes, or better, cloths, it was a band of cloth that they wrapped round and round a newborn baby to keep its limbs straight. But those very swaddling cloths are a foretaste, a forewarning of those claws that would wrap you in the tomb after your death. You came to die for us, to dwell amongst us, to pitch your tent amongst us, to show us the love of God made visible. And you did that all moved by love. So much did God love the world that he sent his only begotten Son. And you love this sinful world. We were all estranged from you by original sin. And you came to redeem us. How could you love this sinful world? How could the Creator love the creature? But you did. And we can apply that personally to each one of ourselves. Lord, how could you love me, this poor sinner that I am? And we are overwhelmed with that truth that you do love me. As St. Paul writes to the Galatians in the second chapter, I always think that when he wrote those words, he would have been very moved. He said about you, who loved me and gave himself up for me. And we all say that with that same wonder. You loved me. You gave yourself up for me. And this is divine love. And as Pope Benedict wrote in his first encyclical, God is Love, God loves mankind with that love of eros, that passion of love, that emotion of love, that wants to draw the beloved into oneself. And Lord, you drew mankind into the Godhead in your divine person. You took on human nature and in it all of us to draw us into yourself so that the two could become one flesh, as happens in marriage. And you took on our flesh. The Word became flesh, one flesh with us. And then, as Pope Benedict points out, Eros is elevated and purified by agape, by that self-giving, sacrificial love. And you sacrifice to become man. You sacrifice throughout your life on earth, giving yourself constantly to those who clamored for your attention. And finally, you gave your life on the cross. This is love. And then you can ask each one of us, as you asked Simon Peter after your resurrection, Simon, son of John, do you love me? And this is a question we must all ask, and we should ask it daily. Do I love you? And Lord, help me to respond to that love that you have shown all of mankind, that you have shown me personally. Help me to respond to your love. And you explain in the Last Supper what love should mean. We open the Gospel of St. John to the 15th chapter, and you say to the apostles gathered there in that upper room, as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. How will we love you? By keeping your commandments. And very simply, by doing your will. And you manifest your will throughout the day, from getting out of bed on time, saying our morning prayers and with them our morning offering, moving quickly to get ready, doing some little penance, getting started at our work, especially those difficult jobs, stopping to pray throughout the day, thinking of the others around us, giving of ourselves to them. Throughout the day, you are inviting us to do your will because you want us to be happy. You want us to be holy. And when we are holy, which is to say when we love you with our whole heart and soul and mind and strength, we find that joy that we all seek. And you went on to say immediately after the words we just cited from St. John, "These things I have spoken to you so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full." And we ask, Lord, please help me, help everyone to love you, to do your will, so that we can have that joy that you want to give us. And then you teach us a second lesson, spiritual childhood. You come as an infant, as a helpless infant. You show us that as the Son of God, you are a helpless child. And we are all children before God. We are not God. We are not even adults capable of determining what is going to happen in our life. We are children before you who look after us. We go to our loving Father God as tiny children, saying, "Please help me. I can do nothing by myself." And when you have helped us, because you are doing it constantly, we come back to you often with thank you. Because everything that we have done, everything that we are, all of the blessings you give us are divine gifts. We haven't made our life. We are in your hands. And we thank you for all of the good things that we do and all of the blessings that you give us. But we also come begging, "Help me. I want to do your will. I want to love you. I want to love those around me. But by myself, I am incapable. Help me." And these three phrases are ones that Blessed Alvaro del Portillo used to say often on significant anniversaries and feasts. "Lord, thank you. Forgive me, for I have not corresponded to your grace, and help me more." And these are expressions of spiritual childhood, of one that knows that God is everything, that we are nothing. And Pope Benedict, in his apostolic exhortation, Verbum Domini, on the Word of God in the life and mission of the Church, says, "The Lord made his word short. He abbreviated it," quoting Isaiah chapter 10. "The Son himself is the Word, the Logos. The eternal Word became small enough to fit into a manger. Now the Word is not simply audible. Not only does it have a voice, now the Word has a face, one which we can see, that of Jesus of Nazareth. And Lord, you became visible there in the manger, but visible as an infant, as a helpless child. The Word through whom all things were made is now small enough to fit into a manger. And Lord, help us to have that deep sense of our nothingness and yet of our everything, because you created us in your image and likeness, and you dwell in our soul in the state of grace, and we become temples of the Blessed Trinity. But by ourselves, we can do nothing. And as St. Paul writes, we can do all things in you who give us strength. Help us to trust in you as little children, to live with all of that simplicity, that transparency before you, that we be little children, children of God. And then you teach us a third lesson, And this perhaps is taught more by Mary and Joseph, and afterwards the shepherds and the wise men, that lesson of contemplation. Because Mary wraps you in those swaddling cloths, lays you in the manger, and we can imagine that she and Joseph simply look in wonder at you, now born into the world. Mary carried you for 9 months in her womb, wondering what would you look like. And now they gaze with love at you in wonder. This child is God. It is through him that all things were made. He is the eternal Word, but lying helpless in a manger. And they simply look with love, and that is that prayer of contemplation. And we sing in that Christmas carol, O come, let us adore him. And we come to adore you, God present as man, God present as a child. And Lord, help us to live our life of prayer centered on you. And in this time of Christmas, we can pray before the nativity scene in our house, or perhaps in the church, or in our imagination, or in a Christmas card that we have received. And we simply look at you there in prayer, but finding you not only in our times of formal prayer, of mental prayer, the rosary, of other times that we dedicate to you, but throughout the day, to know that you are close. God entered this world. You are with us always. As you said to the apostles before you ascended into heaven, I am with you always until the close of the age. You are here on earth, here in my soul, in the state of grace. But do I remember you? And those words of St. Augustine in his Confessions always come to mind. Lord, you were with me, but I was not with you. Help me to be more prayerful, more contemplative, more aware of your presence and talking to you, to live in your presence. Your name says it all, Emmanuel. God is with us. Teach us that third lesson of contemplation. And then a fourth and very obvious lesson, humility. You emptied yourself to take the nature of a slave, as St. Paul writes to the Philippians. You humbled yourself. And you came into the world not into a palace, not into a castle, which would have been fitting for a king, and you are the King of Kings. But you came into the world in a stable surrounded by animals. And you were laid not in a bed, but in a manger, a feeding trough for animals. What humility! Lord, you teach us by your very example of the circumstances of your birth, and you invite us, learn from me, for I am meek and humble of heart. And we are so full of ourselves, constantly thinking of how we look and what other people think of us, and taking all the credit for the good things we do, instead of being humble and realizing that you are everything, we are nothing. Mary, too, that virgin, teaches us humility. In the Magnificat, and when she visits Elizabeth and John the Baptist and Zechariah, Elizabeth's husband, that beautiful prayer of humility, my soul magnifies the Lord, my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. She praises God. And Lord, help us to learn that, not to be so full of ourselves, to empty ourselves as you did in that great kenosis, that self-emptying, and all of the circumstances of your birth speak to us of humility. Pride is that effect of original sin, that exaggerated sense of self-worth. And we are worth so much, but we exaggerate it. And we forget that everything we are and everything that we do is your gift to us. Help us to come back to you again with those words of Blessed Alvaro. Thank you. Forgive me. I haven't corresponded as I ought to the grace you give me. Help me more. Then we will live in that humility, which is such an important lesson. Then we will learn from you throughout your life and here in Bethlehem in the manger. And then a fifth lesson, and again an obvious one, detachment from the world, detachment from things, detachment from comforts, because in Bethlehem there are no material things to give you comfort. And Mary and Joseph were very happy with what God gave them for the circumstances of your birth. You should have been born perhaps in a palace, in a castle, at least in a home, in a dry, clean place, sheltered from the elements. But no, it was the will of God that you be born in a cave, which is the traditional understanding, and there in that stable with the animals. There was nothing. There was no comfort. And we get so attached to material things. And we have material things. But let us realize the relative importance of things. Of course we need them. We need clothes. We need food. We need a roof over our head. But let us think at the same time as we say that of the so many people in this world who do not have a roof over their head because they are fleeing in fear as refugees and they only have the clothes on their back and they don't have enough food. When we get so attached to these things that we think of those who don't have them, and we ask you, Lord, help me to be more detached, not to be so covetous, eager to get more things, envious of those who have what we do not have, to be grateful for what we do have, to be generous in giving things away, to give away those many things that we're not using, and perhaps something that we are using, because there's so many people who would love to have what we have, and it's sitting there unused. To be very detached, to live what you say in the Sermon on the Mount, make it your first care to find the kingdom of God and His approval, and all these things will be yours without the asking. That we serve you, not money. That we be detached. You were detached throughout your life. You had no place to lay your head. You were often thirsty and hungry and tired, but happy because you were giving yourself to mankind, which was the mission on which you had come. And then a sixth lesson. You come that all might be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. And we see that first in the shepherds coming to adore you, having been told by the angel that you had been born. And they hasten to Bethlehem to gaze in wonder at you. You had come for them, for the lowly, we might say, for the Jews, because you were of the Jewish stock yourself, of the house of David, following the paternal line of Joseph, your legal father. You had come to save the Jews. You had come from the Jews. But also you had come for the Gentiles, for all of the non-Jews. And we see that in the Magi, who will come some days later to adore you. And the Magi can represent not only the non-Jews, but the powerful, the wealthy, They gave you expensive gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. You came that all might be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. And help us to learn that lesson that you are for everyone, that you have given yourself to us, to me in particular, we can all say, and that you do not want us to keep you for ourselves, but to share you with others, to share your love, your joy, your truth with others, to spread the faith in that great and important work of evangelization. We cannot keep that treasure that you have given us for ourselves. We cannot take these 10 talents and bury them, but to be very eager to share our joy, our meaning of life with others, with all those around us, often beginning in our own families, where we have members of the family who don't really know you and love you, who do not practice the faith in which they grew up, and then our colleagues of work, our friends, acquaintances, everyone. To be very apostolic, by our very baptism, we are called to that mission. We have a right and duty to spread the faith. And the final lesson, and we could come up with many more, the great lesson of peace and joy that you come to bring. The angel announces to the shepherds, I bring you news of great joy, a joy to be shared by the whole people. The joy of God's presence, God amongst us. And when we come to you, we find that joy, because we find happiness when we find any good, whether it be a good book that we are reading, a good film that we have seen, the goodness of a family that loves us. All of these earthly goods give us joy, but only you, the infinite good, can give us that perfect joy. And so St. Augustine writes, Lord, you made us for you, and our heart is restless until it rests in you. And you have come to us so that our heart can find you, can find the Word with a human face, and love you. And we find that joy here on earth, to the extent that we love you and give ourselves to you and do your will. And we will find it complete in heaven, that supreme, definitive happiness of which the Catechism of the Catholic Church speaks, describing the joy of heaven, supreme, definitive happiness. And Lord, you came to give us that joy, that your joy in us may be fulfilled. We thank you for coming to us, for giving us yourself at Christmas, but help us to learn all of these lessons. You teach us from that cathedra of the manger. We are blessed that you have come, that you have taught us these lessons. And we ask Our Lady and Saint Joseph, help us to learn so many lessons that the Christ child teaches us. Those lessons of love, of spiritual childhood, of contemplation, of humility, of detachment from comforts and things, of apostolic zeal, of peace and joy. I thank you, my God, for the good resolutions, affections, and inspirations that you have communicated to me in this time of prayer. I ask your assistance in putting them into effect. My Immaculate Mother, Saint Joseph, my Father and Lord, my guardian angel, intercede for me.
For more from Father Flada, visit fatherfladablog.com. And for more talks, interviews and shows, visit cradio.org.au.